name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The centurion is what was referred to at the time of our Lord as a God-fearer, someone who believed in the God of Israel and who prayed to him, but had not converted. And the reason why the centurion likely would not have converted is because he would have lost his job. Because as a Roman centurion, he had to pay homage to the gods of Rome. And if he had become a Jew, he would have lost all of that. And yet he still believed, and he showed his belief by building the synagogue and his, as it says here, his love for the people of Israel. And because he knew the laws of Moses, he didn't come himself to Jesus to ask for the healing of his slave. Because who is he? He's an unclean foreigner. And this is also why he said to Jesus, "You don't have to come into my house," because he knew that this, according to the law of Moses, would make Jesus unclean. And most rabbis would not do that, even for a God-fearer. And yet he had confidence and hope that Jesus would, in fact, cure his slave. Why? He said, this is a man with authority. He is the Messiah. If he says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. Just like in my military unit, if I tell someone to do something, it'll get done. And so he had faith. Faith, as Jesus said, greater than he had found even in Israel. And because of this faith and the gift of the Lord, his slave was healed. It's really a remarkable story. You know, think also about the humility of the centurion, realizing that he was not worthy for Jesus to come into his house, recognizing that according to the law of Moses, he was unclean. He didn't complain about it and say, well, that's not fair, you know, I'm as good as any one of you. He accepted his position according to the law and acted accordingly, which is, you know, truly a remarkable thing. Most of us, if someone said, well, I can't come to your house because it would make me unclean, would get all upset. In fact, this is such an important story that we use the line of the seminarian before we receive Holy Communion, don't we? It's one of the things that they fixed in the translation. Praise be to God for the new translation that we've got, because it is so much more accurate. Now, some people might find the language a little formal. Well, guess what? This is the liturgy. The language is supposed to be formal. This is not a cocktail party. You're not sitting in a beanbag chair around a lava lamp. The language is for the worship of God, and it should be formal. And it needs to express what is in the Latin as exactly as possible, because that's very, very important. You know, now we say, in fact, the full words of the centurion. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my house or under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Just think how much better that sounds. You know, we're echoing those words, hopefully with the same faith that the centurion has. Because we need that faith. You know, first of all, none of us is worthy to receive Holy Communion. You think you have a right to what Jesus has done for us? You're sadly mistaken. No one on the earth has a right to receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lord. And yet, even without that right, Jesus still gives us himself to us freely. And so we also have that faith that only say the word and my soul shall, our very inmost being, what is truly us, will be healed. Not necessarily of physical things, though that has happened, but what really matters, our soul, to heal that relationship that we have with God, to heal the effects of sin so that they no longer trouble us, so that we can walk with God in this world and in the next. So, you know, remember when you say those words at this Mass and another Mass, whose words you are echoing, and try to echo also that profound humility and faith which the centurion showed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.